You know, there are some people that didn't wake up today. They're not with us anymore. But we're here alive, amen? And we're in the presence of God and each other. Today's a good day. Look at your neighbor and say, today's a good day. And today's going to be a better day because we're going to finish talking about rejection, probably more specifically, a spirit or the spirit of rejection. And as you've heard me say every week now for the last few weeks, we've all battled with it. We've all been victims and we've all been the villains. We've all been rejected and we've all rejected others. And so today I wanted to start off with the definition real quick. In simple terms, it's being rejected is not being accepted. And we were born with a need to be accepted and to be loved. And when that need doesn't get met, then rejection is what we're left with, right? That's what we feel anyway. But I've been talking about a spirit of rejection. A spirit of rejection is a little deeper than just being rejected by somebody. A spirit of rejection can attach itself to your soul if and when there's a pattern developed. And I want to read from the definition here. When you are wrongly hurt by words, actions, and or indifference, we all have, to the point of embracing personal pain and believing a lie about your true God-given identity. That's what we call living in rejection, right? And every week I've said this, that even though you can't keep from being rejected, you can keep from living in rejection, from it being a spirit that has attached itself to you, and you're like a walking, wounded person. And you've learned to manage it, you've learned to avoid it. We do weird things to avoid rejection, and they're not always healthy things. And God wants us to learn how to pull that rejection root up once and for all, and then moving forward, how to manage, how to deal with rejection. The opening clip that I wanted to show y'all was Lloyd Christmas. Y'all remember the movie Dumb and Dumber? Sometimes we're dumb and dumber when it comes to dealing with rejection. But Lloyd Christmas dealt with it so beautifully when he asked a girl, what are the chances of a girl like you and a guy like me, you know, come, you know, hooking up and making something of it? And he says, just shoot straight with me. And she said, one in a million. And he said, so you're telling me I have a chance. Boy, if we could all deal with rejection the way Lloyd Christmas did, we wouldn't need a three-week series, amen? But most of us don't, most of us haven't, and we need some help. So let's go to God and ask him to help us today, amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for accepting us and not rejecting us. Thank you for loving us more than we deserve and loving us more than anyone else in our life. And if we could just grab hold of that truth and hold on to that, that's really what we need. And so would you open up this door to understand this truth and that we would begin to live in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're doing things a little bit different. We only had two worship songs. I wanted to start the message a little bit sooner. It's going to be a little bit shorter message because I want to leave 10 or 15 minutes at the end of my message for ministry time. And when it comes time for ministry time, I'm going to have prayer partners come forward. We're going to have men and women prayer partners up here across the front. And this is going to be an opportunity for you to come forward for a few reasons. Either one, to receive Christ as your Savior, or maybe rededicate your life. Maybe you've gotten off track and you want to rededicate and get back on track with Him. Or it could be for a spirit of rejection or a number of other things. But I didn't want you to have learned about this spirit of rejection and then not have an opportunity to deal with it and let the Lord set you free from it. Amen? Amen. And so here's what I want. I don't want anybody sitting and doing nothing. I want everybody responding to something you heard God say to you today, and we've purposed to have all of our prayer partners up here so we can minister to you and you can leave out of here just a little bit better than the way you came in. Are you good with that? Amen. All right, now open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I've titled today's message, The Tale of Two Kings. And right now I hear God whispering in my ear, it should have been a tale of three kings, two earthly kings, one heavenly king. But the tale of two kings who, these were two earthly kings that both suffered from rejection. But one handled it the way Lloyd Christmas did, and the other one didn't. And the question is, what was the difference? How could it be that two people were rejected, but one handled it better than the other? What made the difference? That's what we're going to focus on today. Now, this story takes place in 1 and 2 Samuel, Old Testament, probably somewhere around the year 1000 before Christ, 1000 BC, long time ago. And this was at a time in Israel's history where they were moving from a judgeship. They had judges leading their nation, and they were demanding for a king. They wanted to be like other nations. Give us a king. We want a king. They didn't know what they were asking for. Things got worse when kings got in charge. Okay? Who knows that we can moan, groan, and complain about the way we have it with God, and we're asking for something else, and maybe the reason he's not giving it to you, he knows that ain't going to be any better. Honey, you got to trust me. That's not going to be better for you. But I'll give you that spouse if you really want that spouse. I'll give you those kids if you really want those kids. I mean, there are some things that God gives us because we bug him and bug him and bug him, but sometimes it's not always the best. So be careful. Be careful. Especially when you're asking for things, you got to really bathe it in prayer. But in 1 Samuel, the reason it's the book of Samuel is Samuel was the main prophet during this time period. And in chapter 8, Israel demands a king. Chapter 9, Saul, one of the kings I'm talking about today, was chosen by God to be king. And then chapter 10, Samuel anoints Saul as king. And he announces and introduces Saul to the nation of Israel. So imagine that if I were to have Manny come up here. Manny, real quick, come up here. Stand right up here. Let's say that I'm Saul. I mean, let's say that I'm Samuel, and I found this good-looking guy named Saul, full of wisdom, stature, and he's my man. God's chosen him to be my man. Come over here. Come over here, Saul. Now, there were thousands of people in the audience watching this, but I want to read for you something that Samuel said to the whole nation of Israel about this man right here. Verse 24, chapter 10, verse 24. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him who the Lord has chosen?" Look at him. This is who God has chosen, right here. "And there is no one like him among all the people." None of you compare to this guy. This is God's man. And they all said, "Long live the king."
Long live the king.
All right. Good job, Saul. Go sit down. Now, hold on just a minute. How can a guy like that suffer with rejection? Are you kidding me? He just was brought up in front of the whole country and said, "He's my man." God said, "He's my man. There's nobody else like him. There's nobody else that can compare to him. You're above everybody." And everybody said, "Long live the king." And we're thinking, how can a guy like that suffer rejection? Look at the next verse. But there were some. There were a few people. Not the majority. Just a few rebels, verse 27. But there were some rebels who said, "How can this guy save us?" Just a few. Just a few voices got in his head. And he quickly forgot what God had said about him in front of the whole country. And instead of believing what God said about him, he began to believe what a few people said about him that wasn't very nice. Felt rejected. So they despised him and they brought him no presents. "I'm sorry, Saul. They should have brought you gifts. You're the new king. That probably hurt you. You were probably expecting them to bring you a lot of good stuff. And they brought you nothing," right? And it says, "But Saul held his peace." Like, you're good at doing that. You just kept silent. you're thinking something different, but you kept silent. Whoever said sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you, lied. Amen. Who knows that words can hurt tremendously? Who's been hurt by someone else's words? And maybe with that, some actions or lack of. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. When those few rebels rejected Saul's ability to be king with their words, because words have power. Your words or somebody else's words, they can build people up, they can tear people down. They can bring people together, they can separate people. They can make you feel accepted, they can make you feel rejected. There's power in words. Amen. And all of us have been on the receiving end of words of rejection, and we've been on the giving end of words of rejection. And this series just serves a purpose to say, hey, let's watch it going forward. We can't do anything about the past. We can get free, but let's stay free. And let's not keep walking into the trap where we're going to live with rejection, and let's not continue this habit of rejecting others with our words. And instead of dealing with it the right way, Saul internalized it, believed the lie that came with it, and it sent him on a bad path. Now, Saul was a great king in other ways. And he was a mighty warrior. He won many battles. But in chapter 13, something happened. Samuel was supposed to come and pray over Saul and his army before they went into battle against the Philistines. But instead, Saul took matters into his own hands and did it himself. That's usually what rejected people do. They disconnect and they start doing things their way. If they can do it their way, if they can stay in control, then nobody can reject them. And they got Saul in trouble. I want to pick back up in chapter 13, verse 11. And Samuel says, so he had gone to the Lord himself and prayed the prayer that Samuel should have prayed. In fact, God told Saul to wait for Samuel to come, and Saul didn't. And in verse 11, it says, and Samuel said, what have you done, Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash? Then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. I don't blame the guy. You can't blame him. He was doing what he thought was the right thing to do in his own mind, but that's the problem. He didn't do what the Lord told him to do. In verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. Can you hear the door of rejection getting ready to open again? The Lord has sought for himself another man, a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. God has chosen another person. And he chose you at first, Saul, but now you're going to be removed from that position because you didn't do what I asked you to do. And a new man's going to come in. A new man's going to come in and take your spot. Another log on the rejection fire. And if you keep reading this story, the path that he goes down is much like Cain and Abel's path. His anger toward God is now directed at David, the other king that I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And then along the way, other logs get added to that fire. Logs of suspicion. Becomes very suspicious, fearful, jealous, paranoid, murder. He now tries to murder David, and when he's not successful, he ends up killing himself. And eventually because Saul's rejection led to his rebellion against God, God removed his hand and his spirit off of Saul, and Saul took his life. And so the bottom line is, listen to me, Saul had a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice of how we're going to deal with rejection. We can believe what God says about us and go in one direction, or we can believe what people say about us, and that usually takes us in another direction, especially if we believe the lie that came with the rejection. And for the past 2 weeks, you've been hearing me say, We can't avoid rejection, but we can avoid believing the lie that came with it. Because it's in the believing of the lie and your mind now wrapping itself around a lie that over time really becomes a new truth. That's what gets us in bondage to this spirit called rejection. And today we're going to give you a chance at the end of this service to come up and pray with a prayer partner and rebuke that thing and ask God to remove it from your life and from your mind, really. It's up in your mind. And then there was David, the other king, who also suffered rejection like Saul. If you turn to chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Because Samuel knows what God did to Saul. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. In other words, I'm going to pick one of his sons to be my next king. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he's going to kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said. Who knows that's good advice? Yes. Won't you write that down? I think I'll start doing what the Lord told me to do. Yes. And went to Bethlehem. You can come talk to him here in a minute when we have a prayer partner. You come talk to him. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. Usually when God sent a prophet to a town, it maybe wasn't great news, so they're going, uh-oh, what's the prophet here for? But this was for good news. They said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab, that's the oldest son of Jesse, looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, didn't God just tell Samuel, you're going to pick the one I tell you to? Yes. Right out of the chute, he's already measuring up people the way they look to him. Hadn't heard a word from the Lord yet. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at their physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I think sometimes we get too caught up in our outward appearance and we neglect our heart. Because here's what Tammy and I have discovered as we've gotten older. The outward changes. But the heart shouldn't. The heart should always get better and better and better. And I know that's what she loves about me and that's what I love about her. Amen? So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. He's just going down oldest, next, next, next. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And you're now wondering, I hope he has more sons. Or did I not hear God right? And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Are all your sons here? And then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Pause. If you were David, wondering, why didn't my dad call me into the house when the prophet first came? Do you see how David received some rejection in that way? But then when he came and the Lord picked him and his seven older brothers, what? You're picking him? The runt of the family? The little shepherd boy? Can you see how this spirit of rejection can attach itself to almost anybody in any circumstance? In Psalm 27:10, I don't think I have a slide for it. I just made a note. Some people say, some scholars say that David wrote this psalm because of what happened that day in his house. Here's what Psalm 27:10 says. My father and mother have forsaken me, have rejected me, but the Lord will take me up. In other words, the Lord's going to take care of me. The Lord has accepted me. Which is why I think from the beginning, although David started off with rejection, a robe of rejection, just like Saul, David was a little bit different than Saul in that he knew God had accepted him that day. And that's what he chose to go with. He didn't major on the rejection. He focused on Lord's acceptance. And the Bible says that David, I think he's the only one that had this, maybe other than Noah, right? He was the only one righteous in his day. But what God said about David was, is this is a man that has a heart after me. And that's the difference between Saul and David. If you're going to deal well with rejection, you got to have a heart after God more than you have a heart that focuses on people and what they say and those lies that we believe. And then if you keep reading the story, because David's brother suffered rejection when little brother was chosen over them, they did what most of us do when we get rejected. We reject others. They were going to pay little brother back. So his father sends him to, one day he said, go take your brother's lunch. They're in the battlefield. They're lined up for battle. It's interesting that David had been anointed to be the next king or chosen to be the next king, but he wasn't out in the battle yet. He was probably young. So he goes and takes his brother's lunch, and he gets there, and he overhears the giant, the Philistine giant. What was his name? Goliath. Just checking your Bible stuff. He heard Goliath taunting the Israelite army, and David said a few encouraging things, and his oldest brother just ripped on him and said, who are you, little bro? Who are you to come out here and be with us? This is big boy stuff. Why don't you go back and tend your little sheep? And, you know, David had a quick exchange like, I was just asking a question. I mean, come on. And so David knew what rejection felt like. He had been rejected by his mentor, King Saul. He had been rejected by his father. He had been rejected by all of his brothers. And like us, was probably feeling very unwanted, unloved, unimportant, unappreciated, very much rejected. But what did David do that was different than Saul? That's the takeaway today. And I put it in kind of one little slide right here. What did David do? There's a new bracelet. David sought God, but Saul kept silent. And that's our choice. We can seek God when we feel rejected. We can seek God, or we can internalize it and keep silent. Most of us keep silent because we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know what to say or how, so we just learn to live with it, right? We don't take it to God. We don't identify the lie and try to find God's truth to counter it. And so we end up living, believing a lie about that thing that a few said about us, and it wrecks our life, right? Without our eyes on God and our ears listening to his voice over all the other voices, we will believe the lies of the enemy and live life wounded, angry, bitter, sad, depressed, resentful, jealous, and hateful like Saul did. Now, I want to remind you, the Psalms, as Pastor David Vestal said a few weeks ago, were really written as songs. Most of them were written by David. David was a musician. I don't know what kind of instrument he was playing mostly out when he was tending to the sheep. Maybe some kind of a guitar or ukulele or something harp. I don't know. But he wrote songs. And I can imagine, like most songs are written, they're written from a place of having a broken heart. And I think some of the psalms that David wrote was expressing his emotions and feelings to God because he went vertical. And he was expressing to God, boy, this hurts. This hurts. When they said this, when they did this, it hurt, God, it hurt. And he wrote songs about it. But that was the difference between David and Saul. David went vertical and expressed his feelings to God and asked for God's help. Saul, he internalized it. He didn't go to God with it. I don't know why we don't go to God. I don't know if you're thinking it's a sign of weakness. But it's really foolishness when you hang on to it and don't give it to God and ask God to set you free from it. So David wrote these psalms about it, and Saul kept silent. And many of you have kept silent, maybe up until this series. Many of you have been living with rejection from somebody about something. Maybe it was something your dad said, or maybe a mom, maybe a coach, maybe an ex-girlfriend, boyfriend, ex-wife, ex-spouse, whatever. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a boss. But something was said that hurt you very much, and you've just kept quiet about it. And today I'm going to give you permission to go vertical with it. I at least want you to come forward and agree with a prayer partner that I've been holding on to rejection. I've been living rejected. And today's the day I'm going to draw a new line in the sand, and I'm just going to ask God to take it from me. I'm going to give it to God. If you keep reading in 1 Samuel chapter 26, towards the end of the book, David says this to Saul. He says, "May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness." Now listen, some of you, because you've been living rejected, you've rejected others. It's your way of paying people back for the hurt you felt. David said, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. Let the Lord have vengeance on that person that hurt you. Let the Lord do it, not you. "For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And indeed, as your life was valued much this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued much in your eyes, Saul." Is that what it says? Huh? Is that what it says? He says, "So let my life be valued much in the eyes of the Lord." He's going vertical. He's not expecting the one that rejected him to change. He wasn't expecting the one that rejected him to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I love you now." Basically, David was saying, in the same way that I didn't take vengeance on you, Saul, I'm believing and trusting in my God that he's going to deliver me from this wound I have, not anybody else. "And let him deliver me out of all tribulation." Let the Lord deliver you from this spirit, or let the Lord deliver this spirit from you. Amen? Amen. And so Saul chose to go horizontal. He took vengeance on the one that had rejected him, but David went vertical, and he looked to the Lord to set him free. And so this morning, I want to challenge you with that same question. What path are you going to take? Who are you going to be like? Dealing with all the rejection that you've dealt with, you're going to be like David, you're going to be like Saul. Would you come this morning and take it to the Lord? Now, some of you, maybe you've already done that, and you feel, hey, I've already dealt with that. What he's saying is true. But maybe some of you, you've never heard how to deal with it. Maybe you've heard it for the first time in this series. Why go another day? Why go another week living rejected when you can come and bring it to this altar and start fresh? Amen? And then if you keep reading Isaiah 53:3, I mean, what did David do? I mean, really, what did Jesus do? Jesus did the same thing. In Isaiah 53:3, the prophet Isaiah had spoken this many years before Jesus came to earth. And he said, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." He goes on to foretell that whole passage in Isaiah 53 is about the suffering of Christ for our sins. He was definitely talking about Jesus. And then 1 Peter 2:21, Peter says, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled or rejected, did not revile in return." In other words, he didn't go horizontal. "When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." He went vertical. Jesus went, remember, he was on the cross, and he said, "Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Jesus didn't get mad at the audience. He didn't get vengeance on them, those who were crucifying him. He took it to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. And on the third day, he delivered him. And on the third day, he rose again. He conquered what we're dealing with. He conquered. And so he knows more than anybody else how to conquer this thing called rejection. But you got to go to him. You got to trust him with it. Amen? So, what do you hear God saying to you? I'm hoping you heard him say, do what David did. That's all. Do what David did. Do what Jesus did. Bring that to me and let me help deliver that spirit from you so you can walk in freedom for the rest of your life and you don't have to live rejected. Amen. If I could have some prayer partners come forward. Come on, prayer partners. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I need all prayer partners. All prayer partners. Just space out across the front. She's holding it, isn't she? She's waiting for me to explain. And then she's going to go into another court. What? Oh, now I better put one of those in before I have to pray for her. She's my helper. She's my helper. Okay, here's what we want to do. These are prayer partners. And when you come forward, they're going to go, how can I pray for you? And just tell them. For some of you, maybe you're not right with God, and today's the day to get right with God. Maybe others, you were right at one time, and you've gone off path, and today you just happen to walk back into church. You're saying, you know what, I need to get right with God again. Maybe it's that. And just be honest with them. I'm not right with God, or I want to get right with him again. We don't talk super spiritually here at this church. We just talk good old boy language. Or I'm dealing with rejection, and I want to get free from it. Now, if that's your prayer, then go back to what I've taught the last 2 weeks. What door did it come through, and what was the lie that you believed? You know, my dad told me when I was growing up that I was just a worthless whatever. Or my ex this, or my ex that said this about me. Right? And then the prayer partner is going to say, do you believe that's true? Do you believe God would say that? No. What do you think God says about you? Probably just the opposite. Well, why don't we just believe that today and forgive the person that told you a lie? You see how simple this is? But if you don't do it, you can't get free from it. And so I'm going to pray for you to come forward, and we'll just see what God does. Amen. Father, thank you for loving us so much that in your word you tell us how to get free from these things that aren't from you. They're from an unholy spirit, a spirit of rejection, a spirit that works against you in the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw people forward so they can get free from this thing that they've been dealing with most of their life. And I pray that you would set them free today, that they would leave with a new sense of hope and encouraged that they can conquer this thing and they don't have to be the victim anymore. So, Holy Spirit, would you draw people for prayer? Would you bring them to you? Let them go vertical with you in the time that we have left. We just love you. We thank you in advance for the great work you're going to do right now. In Jesus' name, amen.